Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see y'all here this morning. No rain kept anybody out, right?
No way.
And Gabby, good to see you. Happy birthday. It was 21, right?
Oh,
21, right? So, appreciate y'all worshiping with us today. And filling in for prayer will be Jessica. Because Sammy's next door. He's preaching in another church this morning. And I think they traded jobs today. He's got the kids, and she's gonna run the sound and lead us in a word of prayer. And before you pray, I did get a call from Judy Riles, and she's requested that we remember her granddaughter, Caden, which is Eddie's daughter. She was tested with COVID. It's not a severe case, but she is going to be quarantined at home for about 2 weeks. So keep them all in prayer, because both of their parents have compromised systems with allergies, and they just absolutely don't want to share that. So keep them in your prayers as she's dealing with this. Any other prayer needs? Any other announcements? Anything this morning? If not, Jessica, would you pray for us then?
Living out marriage, right? Helping your husband, being there, being a pair. So let's come to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being able to come together and worship you in person, God, with our brothers and sisters, Lord, our family in Christ. Lord, thank you so much for this gift of a family, a forever family, Lord, that we know the relationships we're forming here on earth are forever if we all have Jesus in our hearts and we've accepted him, God. And I thank you for that beautiful gift. Lord, thank you for my husband. I pray for him and lift him up, Lord. And I thank you for Pastor Doug and the leadership of this church, Lord, and his wife, Robin. Thank you for Patsy and all the people here, Lord, and their ministries in this church. Thank you for giving us these responsibilities, Lord, of sharing your word, Lord. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to minister in your name and to pray in your name and know that you hear us, Lord, and you answer our prayer. That if we knock and the door will be open, Lord, and we thank you for that, God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives with us, Lord, all the time. The great comforter, Lord. And we lift up Judy and her family now as they're going through a difficult time of illness, Lord. And we thank you that we know the great physician, Lord, that no illness is too big for you. That there's no medicine out there that can top your healing power, God. And we thank you, God, that we have access to that. And we thank you, God, for how you love us. Thank you for sending Jesus, Lord. And as we come to you in worship this morning, we just pray that your spirit just wraps around us, Lord. And we feel you move in our hearts and our lives, God. Thank you so much for all that you've given us, God. We pray all these things, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, let's continue in worship. This is the book you need. It's the white one, the White Baptist Hymnal, and the hymn number is 487. So if you'll turn to 487, we'll just sing away. Would you stand together to your feet, please? 487. Stand together and sing.
Wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart. On the second verse, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart on the third, there's a light in the valley of death now for me. Since Jesus came into my heart, and the gates of the city beyond I can see. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart, I built it on the fourth. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you. You can be seated. Microphone, or stay right where you are and turn to hymn 403. What a friend we have in Jesus. The white one? This one all day. 403. Hymn 403. In the right hymn book. You should know by heart all three verses. What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs dear bear. about our privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Second verse. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And the third verse, are we weak? Are we weak and heavy laden? Come with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. We'll find a solace there.
All right, Cindy, you need to go next door?
Well, the rest of us keep singing hymn number 435 in this book. 435, he keeps me singing. We can have fun with this. There's five whole verses.
Five whole verses. So sing it out.
Raise you through my heart a melody.
Here we go.
Raise within my heart a melody. Jesus whisper sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. Hear my love, let's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life is wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting beneath the sheltering wing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps reach me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see the footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. And fifth and last, soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
We'll have one more song at the end of the service. It's called "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." If you want to mark it in that book, and I'll remind you again, but it's hymn number 375. It's "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," and we'll come back to that for an invitation hymn. Open your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, and chapter 6. Do you believe in the miracles of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You believe all of them out in the Bible just the way they're spelled out?
Yes.
That you don't have to explain them away, that something miraculous took place?
Amen.
And Jesus did some phenomenal things. And those who followed him have difficulties just absolutely following him, especially the ones, the apostles, had problems sometimes understanding everything that he did. And I just want to show you some of the things they went through. If you've got Mark chapter 6, we'll come on down to the 30th verse. This is one of those miracles I want to give you attention to, and then follow along because I'm going to tell you to turn some other places in the scripture. But in verse 30, and then come down to verse 31, and if you have a Bible that's got the words of Christ in red, that's what I'm going to give attention to right here, because this is what Jesus said to them in 31. He says, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." So this is the commands of Jesus, and he's teaching people, and there's a bunch of people there. And come down to verse 37. Again, we have the words of Jesus, and he says this in the way of a command. "You give them something to eat." And it's like they said, how can we go by? What are we supposed to do? That's kind of like their question. And Jesus says in verse 38, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And of course, you know the rest of the story on this particular case. Came back and said, "Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And if you turn over, you see that what takes place is Jesus feeds them all. And here it says they fed 5,000. And it says he looked up to heaven, he blessed it, and can you believe that 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed 5,000 people? Is that possible? Could it happen? This is where you're supposed to say amen. And was it a miracle? You can go to commentators and commentators who like to suggest that this happened in another way, and I've read and I've forced myself to read some of them and what their explanations are, and it's just a bunch of hooey. Because they can't, in their mind, figure out how Jesus could do this. But he makes it very clear. But that's not where it ends. Because then you come over to the 8th chapter. You just saw an incident where Jesus fed 5,000 in a miraculous way. And it seems like this is almost a repeat story, but the numbers are different. And in chapter 8 of Mark, it says again in verse 2, the words of Jesus Christ, he declares, verse 2, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar." And the disciples said, well, where are we going to get any bread out here in the wilderness? And Jesus again, verse 5, how many loaves do you have? And this time they tell him how many? Can you see?
Seven.
No little fish. Bread. A couple more loaves. And it says, he broke it, gave it out, shared it, fed about 4,000. Those who had eaten were about 4,000. And then he sent them away. And the last verse says he got in a boat with his disciples and headed out. Now, in this scripture, he asked this question. The Pharisees came and said, verse 11, they began to dispute with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. It says in verse 12, but he sighed deeply in the spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And then follow reading in verse 13, and he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. Verse 21, catch this. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? It seems like they had completely forgotten everything. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord. We ask you to guide us and lead us. Especially, Lord, today as we come and look at the miracles that you performed, and help us to completely understand all things in your word about these who follow Jesus. It's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen. The interesting thing is that the disciples here were having a hard time grasping everything about Jesus. They were concerned. And they had seen his miracles. They had seen what he had done. And it's like it didn't quite penetrate. It's like they almost didn't get it. What's going on? And one of the themes that run through Mark is when somebody was healed, you remember what Jesus told them? Keep it quiet. Keep it down. Don't tell anybody. Now, could you imagine somebody who was blind or deaf or couldn't walk, and then all of a sudden they were healed? You think nobody would notice? Everybody noticed. And I don't think it was an easy task for them to be quiet. Why was that? Jesus was not anxious to let them know who he truly, truly was at the time. Because all the people of Israel, guess what they were doing? They were looking for a Messiah. And there had already been those who had already come and done this and done that. And said, is that the Messiah? Is that the Messiah? Is that the Messiah? So I said, you know, kind of keep it low. You remember at the wedding of Cana? When they ran out of wine and his mother came to him and said, Jesus, do something about it. Now, I don't know what she had in mind, or she knew that Jesus had the capabilities of turning water to wine. But Jesus made a comment, well, I'll do it, but not quite time. It wasn't quite time to reveal himself as the Messiah. And that was going to be a scary thing. And even the disciples hadn't quite caught on to who Jesus was. It was taking a time, some time for them to discover whom he really was. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. There are other people who came and did miraculous things, not quite like this. There are others who came and spoke two words, but not quite like his. Said he came and spoke with authority. It took them a long time to catch up. They asked, I mean, can you imagine one day he feeds 1,000? And then happens again, it's like he asked him, why is it that it's hard for you to understand? It's hard for you to catch up and realize who I am. And eventually, he did let them know who he was. So Jesus was teaching the apostles and the disciples. Now, you know the difference between those terms in the Bible? And you need to know this. There are no modern-day apostles, okay? There are no modern-day apostles. Some people have come along and have tagged apostle to their name. So I'm Apostle John, or I'm Apostle Thaddeus, and there are some people who've had some famous ministries by going under the tag of apostle. But you need to go back and do a study of what the Bible has to say about apostle. Apostle is the one who was handpicked by Jesus while he was here on earth. And there were how many apostles? 12. How many are there now? 12. Well, here's the interesting thing. The word apostle runs all through the Bible, right to the very end of Revelation. And one of the things it says, now, which will actually kind of like blow your mind because you got to figure something out here. It says, on the walls of heaven, on the walls of the kingdom of God, are the 12 names for the 12 tribes of Israel, and there are 12 names of the apostles. And you can look through the Bible and you can see the list of the apostles' name. Do you know how many times it mentions in the Bible 11 apostles? There's your trick question for this week. Find in the Bible where instead of saying 12 apostles, it says 11. I'll give you a hint. It has to do something with the demise of Judas by him taking his life. And so there were only 11. And those 11 got together and threw dice, or what's known as casting lots, to decide on two that they were thought candidates to take the place of Judas. And they chose Matthias, however you want to pronounce it, but he was chosen by lots. He wasn't like the others where Jesus handpicked him. And as you continue to look in the scripture, you come across a fellow by the name of Paul, whom God, Jesus, struck him down on the street and called him. And later on in the scripture, you can find where he is referred to as an apostle. So here's what's going to cook your noodle for a minute. Of those 12 names, whose names, we know who's going to be the 11, but who's going to be the 12th? In fact, some commentators have said that Paul was the 13th, 12th apostle, which means he took the place of Judas. But there can only be three possible names in that 12th slot. It would be Judas, who was originally chosen. But you will find many scholars and commentators who think that because he was called the son of perdition, that he never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that his eternal soul is in hell. I can't make that judgment call. When I look at the scripture, it gives me that question. I wonder, did he not really follow Jesus for Jesus' sake, or followed him for Judas' sake? So his name could be there. The other one would be if Matthias was elected and selected, his name would be there, or it would be Paul's. So there are wonderful mysteries in the Bible, amen? And I've met many people who've told me what their opinion is, or what they think about it, or what they think the scripture directs it, and there's quite a few scholars who believe that Paul's name would be part of that 12, but you know what? We're just going to have to find out when we get there, right? Won't that be a burning question when we get to heaven? Who's the number 12 man? Who's up there? We probably won't care when we get there, but we just toss a little back and forth and say that. So the word apostle is expressly used for the 12 that Jesus handpicked and whose name will be on the wall of heaven. And so we know 11 of them exactly. It's debatable about who the 12th one's going to be. But God has his plan. Amen? And God knows, and we'll know one day. Some of you may think you already know, and that's okay. But the deal is, there are no modern-day apostles. True story. When I was in Alabama, a man came to the town by the name of Apostle, and I'm not going to say his next name, because not to protect the innocent, but to forget the guilty. He came to town, and he had a rally going on, and he's an interesting gentleman. He called himself Apostle. And he's making all kinds of news and telling people that he could impart the power of God on people and bring healings. But the interesting thing was, if you had a sore foot, impartation would be about $3. But if you had a bad heart, it might be $3,000. And he was known for taking money up, and he traveled around with huge men as bodyguards. Mark, you're a pretty big fella, aren't you? Guy as big as you or even bigger. Walked around with this short little guy who called himself Apostle. I thought I'd go to his meeting. He made the news. Apostle has come to town. I couldn't stand it. Because I looked at the scripture, I said, there's no modern day apostles. He walked into my store. I pastored at the time, and I also helped manage a Christian bookstore. One of my jobs was I was the guy who put the name on the front of the Bible. I was a master imprinter on leather. You could stamp your name and anything and symbols, whatever you wanted. He came in, introduced himself, had his wife and a couple of his bodyguards wherever he went. He said he wanted the most expensive Bible, the best leather-bound Bible. And one of my sales associates got the Bible for him, and they brought it to me, and I was to put a name on it. So I grabbed it up, started taking it to the back, and on it it said, Apostle such and such. And I looked at that and I said, can't do it. I became convicted. And I told my boss, I said, I can't put Apostle on this because he's not an apostle. He goes, where do you think he is? I said, I think he's an imposter. He's not an apostle. And my boss looked at me and he said, well, just go put it. I said, I'm not going to do it, boss. I said, if it cost me my job, I'm not going to put Apostle so-and-so on this Bible because he's not an apostle. I said, I don't care if I lose a sale or lose a job. I'm not going to do it. I was headstrong and hard-headed back then, and I didn't care about it. And I said, I'm not going to do it. So he says, give it to me. He took my conviction and just walked past me and put it on the Bible himself. And took it out there and sold it to him. He wasn't mad. He wasn't upset with me. He wasn't about to fire me. He didn't want to lose me. He said, I own this place, and sometimes you got to be careful of things like that. So he put his name Apostle. A dear friend of mine decided to quit his job. He was a bus driver for the school, and he was a big guy, big monster of a man. I used to meet with him several times. And we would pray together and talk together. He was a Christian. He was a young Christian. And he started to follow the apostle. And he quit his state job driving that bus for the county to go with that apostle to travel with him. And I begged him, please don't go with this man. He's an imposter. He's not real. I'm going to do it. I believe God's called me to do it. And I argued with him. I'm about ready to split his friends. I said, don't follow this guy. I even went to one of his meetings. You couldn't approach him without a bodyguard being around him. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it was sad. Made the news. In about 3 weeks after he had been preaching every night, packing out a stadium, he made the front page news. He was found in a hotel room with an underage girl, unclad, without her clothes. And he came and said, well, I had to counsel her. And I said, oh, isn't that a funny thing? I had to take her clothes off to counsel her. And I looked at my boss one day and I said, I'm not a prophet, and he's not an apostle. The apostles are the ones who were first called out to follow Jesus. And tradition says all of them died a martyr's death with the exception of one. They gave their lives. You can't be a pretend apostle, but what you can be, because the word sometimes is interchangeable with the disciples. The apostles were disciples, but the disciples were not apostles. Does that make sense? And we got people today. In fact, you know there's two warnings in the scripture that anybody who tries to transform themselves into an apostle, they are not and cannot do it. It's biblical. And yet we got people today that go out about and call themselves apostles. That's high-minded, and it's against the scripture because it's not what it teaches. And the disciples, who often referred to as the apostles, had trouble recognizing who Jesus truly was. Was he really the Messiah? Was he one come? Because all the Israelites were looking to be free. They were looking to be completely free from the oppression of Rome. And as they looked at Jesus, they said, well, he's doing all these miracles. And even after they saw them all, it was like, well, we're getting ready to take this little trip on the boat, and all we got is one loaf of bread. Could you imagine Jesus? One loaf? What'd I do with five? What'd I do with seven? Why are you worried about your stomach? Why are you worried about that? Haven't you seen? And then he goes on in the scripture, and the scripture comes to him, and he asks them this important question. He says, who do the people say that I am? He turned to his apostles. Who do they say I am? And if you remember in the scripture when it talks about that, some of them said, well, you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Well, how could that be? He and John were cousins. He baptized him. John baptized Jesus, how in the world could Jesus be John the Baptist? Don't people think up some silly thing? Well, that's John the Baptist come back. Some said, no, you're Elijah come back from the dead, because they read the scripture, Elijah, he's going to come back. And then, that didn't work. Well, you're just some other prophet that God has sent back to minister to us and show us the needs. Maybe you're the forerunner. But the truth of the matter of the scripture tells us it's easy for us to look back and see everything. The disciples were living in it right then at the time. We can go back in the Bible, we can read all the miracles, we know, hey man, there's glory to God. But they were living it day by day, miracle after miracle. They were being bombarded. And it says, what is all this? Who is this man? And so Jesus said to them, who do they say I am? Well, you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, you're another one of the prophets. And then that was kind of like a prelude to his ultimate question. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? You've seen me. Who am I? And the impulsive Peter. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said, that's right. That's who I am. Now, the question comes to us. And I want to read some scripture. If you'd like to see it, it's in Ephesians. And I'll read a couple of verses from Ephesians here. And it's in chapter 1 of Ephesians. If you'd like to look this up, it would be good to see it. If not, just mark it down. This is how I'd like to wrap this sermon up today, is with this scripture. Who do you say that I am? See, it took the disciples, it took these apostles a long time to grasp that he was absolutely God's son. And what matters for us today is to recognize who Jesus Christ really is, and to us. So, in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, and revelation, and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who we believe, according to the working of the mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality, power, and might, and dominion, And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What we need to do is spend time getting to know Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to do that. It comes from more than just this moment in church. It comes from you taking time to read his word. Who is Jesus to you? Are you truly a disciple and one who follows Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to give it all up and to follow him? You think about the disciples. They were right there in his proximity, right there experiencing all those things. And do you and can you have the heart to understand what Christ has done for you? Because it spells it out right here. He gives us all of his glory. He gives us all in all. He makes us his body, which is the church, which has been given the responsibility and the task to continue with the commission. And the bottom line is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you still scratching your head saying, well, who is this man, Jesus? He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, as Peter declared, and as Jesus agreed and concurred with him. You're absolutely right. Don't take as much time as the disciples did grasping who the Son of God is, but do something about it. And answer within yourself whether or not you are his disciple, whether or not you are a follower. There's a lot of people who might call themselves an apostle. That's a lie. There's a lot of people that call themselves a disciple, and that could be a deception. But are you truly a follower, a believer in Jesus Christ, to the point that you allow him to effectually change your life every day? Every day. I promise you, if you're exactly where you are spiritually, where you were a year ago, you got problems. If you haven't grown spiritually, if you haven't talked to somebody else about Jesus Christ, if you haven't read this Bible in the last year, if you haven't prayed for lost people, you're out of the loop. And you may just be pretending that everything's okay. I walked the aisle. I got dunked. I did what I was supposed to do. But are you living for Christ? When people look at you, do they see Jesus? Or do they just see you? And do they see a life that's fashioned after Christ and all the attributes that he gives us, which he talks about: honesty, fairness, love, loving neighbors. Loving neighbors isn't always easy, is it? But it's necessary. Just do something for your neighbor sometime. Make a difference. Do it this week. Do it. Show that you care for somebody, love somebody. Just do it. Be a disciple. Will it be said of you, there goes a follower of Christ, there goes one of his disciples? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that he is? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can sing a song about the time since you came into our heart and how things have changed. Lord, we need to make that true. Father, my prayer is for your Holy Spirit to deal with everybody in this house to where they can answer to who you are, that you are Messiah. You are the Savior of the world. You are God's Son. You're the one that changed their life. And Father, if that's not taking place, if there's been no change, I pray that today will be just a monumental day, that somebody here can say, I'm tired of fooling around. I'm trying to be lost. I'm tired of being a pretend Christian. I really want to follow Jesus. I want to recognize who the Messiah is. I want my life to be garnered by him and led by him in everything I do and think and say, Father. Lord, we've just been leaving you out of the equation, even with all of our problems. We want to dump it all on you, Father, but you told us you'll give us peace, you'll give us understanding, but we got to take that step. When you say to us, follow me, we got to say, yes, yes, I will follow. And Lord, if there's somebody here today in this place that needs to follow you, walk away from old traditions, walk away from customs or practices, walk away from the false idea that they're born again and belong to you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll shake them up. I pray that you'll help them see whether or not they truly belong to you, and that the people, what did they say about us? Do we love each other? Do we love you? Do we really care? Are we disciples? And it's in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name, our Master and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Again, that hymn is 375, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And as you sing this song, I hope it's something that relates to your life, that you trust in Him completely. If not, and if there's some need today, you could be a born-again Christian and things are just awry in your life and you need to make things right, I'm going to encourage you to come down to the altar and offer a prayer. I want you to encourage me to invite me to join you in a prayer or a conversation, anything that will help you to where you can say, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Would you stand together? You might not even need to sing the first verse. Maybe you just need to come and pray, chat with the pastor, whatever, but turn everything over to Him and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. We sing together in the first verse, 'Tis so sweet, would you come? The altar is open, would you come?
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just in taking at His word, just in us upon His promise, just to know this saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've prayed. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him. Sing in the second. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him.
Let's bow our heads again and pray. Sister, I had a young lady that want to open this in prayer. I need a young lady to close this in one. Would you close this in prayer?
Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us to worship and read. And we thank you for these, Lord, that love you, that have come to your house today. Lord, we pray blessings on them as they come and as they go today, that they would be exponentially touched by you, that we will be lovers of you and lovers of each other, because you said that's how we'll know that we love you, is how we love others. Lord, bless us today as we leave and keep us safe till we come back again. In Jesus' name, amen.